Hello, hello. Welcome, folks. My name's Chris. I'm here with the One Great Work Warriors. And we're back at it another week. We've been thinking, and unluckily, our good friend Crypt Rick, one of our great thinkers, is absent tonight due to not feeling well. So everybody send some mental, spiritual love to our man Rick, Crypt Rick, and hopefully he recuperates quickly. But the rest of us are here, and we're all full of piss and vinegar because of all this ridiculous stuff going around us, all these ways of evil destroying freedom in our world. And One Great Work Warriors, we got together because we're all people that have studied the idea of natural law, and we've come to recognize that this is the binding condition of our universe, of the reality we're in, that when people are out there stealing from one another, it creates condition of slavery. We need to learn how, as humans, to treat each other in a moral way so we can work towards a freedom, that a future that respects freedom, and freedom that respects individual choices. And on that note, we're looking right now at this modern system we have of voting. And we came up with this term, like phrase kind of came up in our discussion, that voting is violence. And so we want to talk about that this week, and we want you to wonder about that too. And I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Jim, because this was his topic of discussion that he brought up, and I'll let him introduce it from there.
Yo, thanks, Chris. The title of this is Why is Voting Violence? And, you know, that may sound like a clickbait kind of title. It's not something that you see when it comes to voting. But, you know, we're here to prove to people, like, it hopefully people click on it, but it's not going to be like a bait and switch. We're going to keep showing like we do whenever we make our videos. We're always saying like the same thing over and over, but just in different ways, you know, talking about, you know, the belief systems that are in the minds of people and like how they see things, and then there's the truth. And so, like, we've always used truth as our guide, you know. And I think if, you know, we continue to have this conversation on voting as we all pass it around, we'll be able to speak from truth and to get people to truly see that the act of voting, you know, the endorsing of government officials, leaders of a war machine, is an act of violence. And so with that being said, like I already mentioned, it's the government, that context. We're not talking about all forms of government. All forms of voting, because not all forms of voting is violent. So, you know, things like American Idol or Dancing with the Stars, you know, all these TV shows and all that, like that's not violent. You know, we're talking about from the context of what's going on, especially in, like, we're just days away from the presidential election. So it's very timely. So, you know, when I was growing up, and like just like all other Americans, I'm sure we were all indoctrinated with the belief that, you know, voting is a privilege. It's a very patriotic thing to do. And you have the right to vote. Like, voting is a right. And you should be so grateful for that, because other countries don't have that. And so many people fought for your right to vote, you know. But our very first video that we ever made was What is a Right? Right? And we've always, we touch upon that a lot in our videos. And a right is any action that does not cause harm to another sentient being. And so if you have voting actually, you know, if you look at it from the big picture, it's not right. If you're endorsing people who are causing harm, you know, and actually you yourself are part of it. If you are, you know, you're part of the action of voting is endorsing this form of violence. It's not right. So that's something I'm sure the rest of you guys will get into. Like I was saying, when I was younger, around when I became like of voting age, especially, there was this a lot of campaigning from celebrities and that, like MTV was like in its heyday, and Rock the Vote was a big deal, where, and then all the musicians got, they got all the celebrities, and I even remember like Puff Daddy had this campaign, Vote or Die, like, and like all like back then, and it's on and on and on. If you see celebrities today, like Taylor Swift, I voted, or all the celebrities just encouraging everyone to vote, you know, and that's been the norm. That's been, you know, that patriotic duty kind of indoctrination, like, and you like almost, you know, it's frowned upon if you speak against voting, you know, which what we are doing, and you're not patriotic and stuff like that. It's a, you know, you should be, you can't complain if you don't vote, you know, that mentality. So that's it. It's always about the mentality. That's what we're getting at here. So I'm going to pass it off to Brandon and go on from there.
Good, good. Because I'm going to clarify some of the things that you just said, Jim.
Nice.
Yeah, because, you know, it is that time of season where humanity's conscience is going to take a beating. But we have to define what the word violence means. That way we can get a correct, you know, understanding. Because if we are saying that, you know, why is voting violence? Or I would phrase it, voting is violence. Because it is, you know, speaking from the context that we are, you know, talking about. So what does, you know, like, what are we talking about when we say the word violence? If we're talking about coercive force, you know, coercive, you know, action, coercive behaviors. These behaviors, you know, will inflict damage, harm, because they are a form of violations. You know, they violate another individual's rights, another individual's property, since rights are a form of property. You know, have bodily autonomy. It violates their free will choice. So that's what we are talking about in the form of violence. We're talking about physical coercive force. And if you want to get a better understanding of what I'm going to be breaking down, you can go watch Chris Nelson's 8-hour presentation, Natural Law and the Science of Morality, because he has a whole breakdown of a behavior in right and wrong. Then you can break the wrongs down into directly or indirectly. So you know, indirectly would be the order. I'm sorry. Directly would be the order followers. You know, the people who are actually out there doing the violence. They're actually engaging and using their hands in the form of wrong action and violating other people's, you know, how natural law rights and violating other people's property. Then you have indirectly. These are the people who aren't actually out there doing, you know, how the violence, you know, held with their hands, but they are indirectly supporting the violence. They are indirectly supporting the system. They are indirectly supporting the authority figures, and they are supporting them by way of the thoughts, you know, by believing in them, you know, by supporting, by donating, by condoning, you know, by saying, oh, these people have the moral right to exist. These people have the moral authority to do these things. That's what we are talking about when we're talking about being indirectly involved with wrong behavior. Just because you are not actually out there, like on the streets beating people, you know, throwing people in cages, hell, locking people up, stealing, you are indirectly involved because you are still condoning, you are still supporting, you are still believing. That's what we are trying to get people to understand. We were talking about voting is violence because you are indirectly supporting slavery. You are indirectly supporting violence. You are indirectly supporting theft. You are indirectly supporting trespasses. You are indirectly supporting coercion. You are indirectly supporting putting people under duress. You know, so you can also be indirectly supporting the media, you know, the military, your order followers, your government, your politicians, any form of religious authority figure, you know, who is out there directly doing the violence, It's the majority of the collective that indirectly supports those who are directly doing the violence. And this would be the unconscious unconscious immorality, because you are unconscious of what you're doing. Because like Jim said, you know, you've been conditioned to, you know, help to support the order followers. You've been conditioned to support government. You know, it's patriotic to support the police. It's patriotic to support the military. That's the indirectly, you know, support of the unconscious immorality that is taking place in the form of voting, because it is violence. Your hands may not be, you know, bloody, but your soul and your spirit and your heart is. And I'll pass it on to Chris.
Thanks, Brandon. I was thinking a lot about Lex Rex, something I originally heard of from What on Earth is Happening podcast. And Lex Rex, I guess, was used in, looks like, 1600s. Somebody wrote a book. You know, this is the time of kings, and people are realizing, like, what gives kings a right to rule over other human beings, right? And in the modern day, this seems like pretty common knowledge, but, you know, it was just pretty known, common, seems like common. There are a lot of times in history where people thought they had a divine right to rule, and they would try to even sculpt that into their sculptures, that somehow the heavens or the god or the gods had given them this right to rule over other people. And, you know, somebody's writing a book and they're saying, no, the law is the king. The king is not the law. And that was the meaning of Lex Rex. It's basically just Latin that means the law is king. Lex means law or rule. And then Rex means king. So instead of the king being the maker of the rule, it's saying the law is in and of itself. I wanted to share this quick quote from my favorite book, The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke. You can find that free on archive.org. To understand how evil controls people, it's necessary to understand the difference between principle and law. A principle is a truth that creates freedom. A law is a lie that creates slavery. Principles describe reality. They are knowledge that help you make use of your world. Because of your intelligence, you recognize principles in everything you do. Every true thing you learn is a principle. The movements of your hands, which foods taste good, mathematics, and empathy for a friend are all based on principles. Laws are artificial ideas created by evil men to restrict the thinking and the understanding of people. So, you know, Jeremy Locke takes that term law to a whole nother level, and he says there is no law. That's a man-made term. And so, you know, sometimes we have a little bit different ways of using words, but I think what's important in this conversation is to recognize that there's been quite a few times, there hasn't not been a time in history when someone hasn't come along and said, here's the new law. And isn't that happened when one town gets sacked by another, or some imperialistic power comes in and takes over another and says, oh, well, we're in power now, so the rules are changing, you know? And humans, we're going through this laundry machine of the rules changing. And now, day to day, here we are in the United States with the modern people around us giving us this ridiculous notion that, no, it's going to work this time. And to me, it's just like straight out of Charlie Brown. You know, Lucy's holding the football again. And she's like, I'm not going to move it this time, Charlie Brown. You can kick it. This time we're really going to put a leader in charge who's going to do what you want. And Charlie Brown comes running down the field to kick it, and she pulls the ball away again. How can it not happen again? How can that not happen every single time? Because the whole idea is a fantastical idea. And to me, the best way to describe it is, I would like you to get together four or five people and go to the movies or go out to dinner. And instead of giving anybody any options of where they want to go or where they want to eat or what time they want to go, just tell them what they have to do. They don't give them a choice. force your friends and family to show up at a particular time at a particular place and see how that works out for you. You know, try to, you know, me and Jim were talking about how difficult it is to have a family. Try to organize two kids to go somewhere on a given day. You know, it's a difficult process to get one person in a state of mind where they're really like focused and know exactly what they want to do on a particular decision. And we have this fantastical, ridiculous notion that we're going to organize hundreds and thousands of people to all do one thing based on how we all vote on a leader. And then that leader is going to know what we all want. I mean, the more you start thinking about it, it's ridiculous. And the only reason it's so put up with and expected to be a way to solve problems is because people feel like it's the only thing we have. And they're hanging on to it like desperately, like, how else are we going to do it? You know, it's that fear of what will we do without voting that keeps people feeling like we need it. And, you know, that's basically all I wanted to say for this round, other than I don't personally think voting, the word voting is not inherently evil, in my opinion, just like money isn't inherently evil. But in its current form, it has become an evil thing. And that's because of the way people have put their belief system into the fact that, yes, we all vote, and then other people have to do what we say. If they don't, we're going to make them. That coercion aspect is what makes it evil. If we were just all voting for what ice cream we liked and it didn't matter if you didn't like it or not, that wouldn't be evil. Voting is just caring about something, basically. But I'll let someone else get into the etymology. I'll go ahead and pass it off. Hopefully someone else looked that up. Otherwise, I will. who's ready? Who's got something to go?
What, the etymology of vote real quick?
Sure.
Oh, it just meant like to give your to give like your praise. It's like to it's pretty much like to give someone your praise or to give them in it's something like your vow in a religious context, like a word in a sense.
Yeah, like a formal promise, a formal wish or promise is the way I, you know, interpret it. It's just like a very serious, like, yes, I really want this. You know, that's what vote is. It's not inherently, that word does not mean any wrongdoing. But if you're on the other end of that, telling people that, you know, they're going to get their head chopped off or they're going to get put in jail or they're going to get a, you know, ticket or they're going to get kidnapped, then now it's a violent thing you're doing. You know, Derek, you ready? No,
I deserve to go last because, you know, I showed up late. Jerry, please have at it if you want or not. You good? Can you hear me? Well, anyways. All right. So
you're coming through, Derek. You're doing good. I think Jerry's got a lag.
Okay. It's akin to also voice. So what are you putting your voice behind? And this is kind of along the lines of what I've just been able to shrug off these really uncomfortable conversations for all parties involved. We can make it more uncomfortable and even beyond that if you want, you know, with all the frenzy behind the politics and people's, you know, fervor, religious, you know, like cultish attachments to it, it seems. Just like, hey, you know what? I don't feel like co-signing my name under any of these people, you know? It's kind of like this, it's not the type of authority that I condone, you know? But then, you know, none of those questions, well, you know what? Do you understand? These are fucking, we're circling around these negative fucking feedback loops, arguing about, you know, which clown is going to run the fucking circus? Or, you know, the puppet that's going to be, you know, prancing around the fucking stage on the theater? Do people not understand, like, you know, yes, there's strings connected to these puppets, and then there's strings connected to those puppets, and, you know, like the Russian fucking doll effect up into, like, you know, how far you want to take it, possibly in other dimensions, lower astral parasitic motherfuckers. What do you think a politic is? Poly-tick. What is a tick? It's a parasite. Polly is, you know, multifaceted. So I have a multifaceted blood-sucking motherfucker in office. I don't want to vote for that. I'm sorry. But anyways. So, yeah.
Or parlor tricks. Sounds yeah. Right, like
politics
too.
Right? We'll save that for the peanut gallery. So with Leslie and I, our show Dissolving the Divide, it's constantly on our mind. We haven't had a whole lot of shows regarding the whole left versus right, you know, two wings of the same bird of prey. And we are the unfortunate victims. And we're getting hammered hard, and we're paying out of the ass and through the nose through taxation ad infinitum on so much shit. Is that not, are we not being violated by those things, you know? Shit, like, are your pockets not screaming today, especially? What the fuck? So out here in France, you know, it ain't all the glitz and glamour. These politicians are not on this rock star fucking status as, you know, some of the previous American people seem to want to be put on these pedestals in a sense. But you know, the media hype is just different in general. But, you know, like, hey, we're so lucky in France and other places around the world and in Europe. We don't have just, you know, two prominent choices to pick from, you know, like, there's like eight different choices. Ooh la la, you know, pick your flavor of, you know, mind control, aka government, or, you know, slavery, right? But, you know, in the end, it kind of boils down to the same two, you know, left right paradigm type of shit. In the end, people still just don't understand that, you know, like, there can be some change, but, you know, it's not the type of change that people are being sold on first and foremost. And that's, you know, like the bait and switch, like you mentioned, Jim. So yeah, it's really sad how people are so caught up into this, and you know, they got their flags out and their signs and stuff on their around their house and their decor, and they're driving around. And Brandon showed us a picture of a a Trump train riding through the neighborhood. No one does that out here in France. And what's interesting as well, and why a lot of Americans just don't put two and two together with this, but I mean, in France, there's like equal media time and whatever, and as well as like there's a cap that, you know, for like funding campaign wise, and it's really limited as well. And yeah, anyways, it's not all by fucking Goldman Sachs and all these things. And like, how many memes have you seen over the past decade or whatever of like, you know, this is the, you know, this is a presidential candidate wearing a you know, a NASCAR jacket with the sponsors on it. And like, you see all these, you know, the dead entity corporation, kind of, we went over that with the zombification and how, yes, people are, you know, kind of going to be, you know, doing the the thriller dance to the to the voting booth. Yeah, it's really sad. But yeah, Jim, you said what's also sad as fuck to me, I mean, there's just so much money being thrown at this from all different fucking angles. It's so fucking pathetic. We could be using that money for something better. And yeah, money is, you know, this invisible thing of finite fucking, or you know what I mean? It's the value of what we're using isn't even worth the money the paper is printed on, type of shit. But people gawking at the celebrities and the celebrities virtue signaling and like pointing their finger like, you need to vote. That's how it is today. Like back in the day, it was just like more like, hey, if you want to vote, if you want to be cool, go and vote. Da da da. But now they're like guilt shaming people. It's like on this weird social media twist, and people trying to, you know, it's this fake ass of righteousness in a sense. And, you know, they're just running off of programs and all these different layers of conditioning that, you know, people have grown up to. And so, yeah, when we grow up oh, we hear the debates like the main dialectics. Are you pro this, anti that, pro choice, and all this stuff? And like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, does the state really have to, you know, be up in our shit with all these things, first and foremost? And with Lex Rex and all that stuff. Yeah, man's law is will never match like natural law. It can align to it as much as possible. Well, let me get, I'll correct myself. It is possible, possibly man's law, but it depends. I'm thinking about what systems it would be under. No current political system would be able to align 100% to natural law. And so that's why it's fucking violent, you know? So that's why I wouldn't want to vote for it. And that's what I'm going to leave with Jerry up next.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. That was great. Yeah, everything you've all said has been great. So now I'm going to attack it and just say, yeah, voting is like voting for politicians is violence. And I just remember here in Mexico a few months ago, it was a election, right? Like, people were voting, and the first woman is she's president. But I just remember how it was, and it was a clown show. And I tell people, look, I don't vote. And they just can't wrap their mind around that. They think that voting for the lesser of two evils is the way. But I'm going to bring it back to why is voting for politicians violence? Because when you vote for a politician, you're essentially saying, I condone the military to coerce you, just like Brandon said, and to steal from you. So fuck that. If you vote, you're immoral. Like, for a politician, that's immoral. That's a blank statement or blanket statement. And so we're going to go in a little bit deeper. I can talk about the lesser of two evils, why that's not the solution, because evil, that doesn't solve anything. you want to end evil, just like the name of Chris's show, like to the extent that you can. And it starts with ourselves. So if you're looking for external authority, you're really selling yourself short. And these guys are selling immorality, and people are buying it up because that's all they've known. It's been like this for a long time. And the indoctrination is so strong that they just can't imagine a way out of this. And I know we talked about this. Oh, what would we do without government? And it's like, you know, we need 51% of people to stop believing in that in order to come up with an answer. Because as of now, I mean, sure, I can think of how it would be, you know, it would kind of look like the same, except like we're not, you know, condoning violence, and, you know, but it would be much better than that. And the more people we have, the more we can come up with ideas with better ideas than what we currently have. So yes, don't just take it up. Don't think it's all on your shoulders. We all need to get involved in spreading the word of freedom and anarchy, especially if you care for freedom. If you're just silent, that's not good. And I remember someone saying, you know, people need to make their opinions heard. And I agree. Those who are anarchists need to say no to the NWO. I'll pass it to you, Jim.
Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, I love that what you said about not giving the credibility to the external authority. And that's always it. Like, what we're always talking about is, you know, the belief system. I know I saw a bumper sticker today. It was Trump, and underneath it, it said, "Save America," you know? Like, we're always looking to these people to save us. And
Trump train.
We need to vote for ourselves, you know? But it's like, that's really the heart of everything we speak about, is that belief system, that external authority. Then that we give them that legitimacy and that. But I was thinking of Patrick Henry's famous quote, "Give me liberty or give me death." And then I was thinking back to that Puff Daddy campaign, "Vote or die." Like that's, think about how much in like the last 200 and whatever 50 years that's changed. Like, it's flipped from "give me liberty or give me death" to now "vote or die." Like, choose your external authority. And I know, like, a lot of people always say you do have better say in things in the local government, you know, and yeah, like some extent that's true. And but it's still, what, so we're not just talking about like the presidents and that, but the local governments too. Like, we, like, you can go and vote for your sheriff now, like, the in locally in on election day. But that's, the sheriffs are like, they're like the red coats of our time. They're like the order followers, like the red coats were the order followers of the king. The sheriff and the police are the order followers of the government, the rulers who are in place now. And, you know, those are the people who will violently rip you out of your home if you don't pay your taxes, you know, that they're stealing from you, you know. And it's all, you do all that, you pay these taxes, like some maybe you agree with, and at least I'm sure everyone has this parts of taxes that you don't agree with, but you know, if you don't contribute your fair share, you pay it because you are under the threat of violence. You do know that if you don't pay, then they're going to come and get you. They're going to imprison you, you know, if you don't do it. Like, they'll catch you eventually. If they'll take your house away from you, you know. And if you try to defend yourself, good luck. Even though, like, in reality, you're not wrong. They're the ones who are causing harm to you. They're stealing from you and then violently taking you from your property. They're claiming to be right, and, you know, they'll kill you. Like, you can try to defend yourself against them, and they'll kill you. And that's a fact. So another thing that I like to talk about is when it comes to America, you know, 60% of Americans are Christian. It used to be a lot more, but it always gets me, you know, that in that belief system of how, you know, you always hear too, like, no one's even mentioned this yet, how you're voting for the lesser of two evils, right? And all that. And so, like, so deep down, everyone knows that evil is involved here. Like, no matter who you pick, and you're trying to decide which one's less evil, but it's not two evils. It's really just one evil, and one's like lesser than the other. But so they're both just evil. And when it comes down to it, you know, all these people who claim to be followers of Christ, would Jesus really, you know, choose? Would he vote? I just like to ask that question to Christians, just to think about it, you know, like sit with yourself and say, like, would Jesus really vote? And I know, like, you can go to, like, your priest, and I watch stuff on, like, YouTube of, like, bishops talking about this stuff, and they say, like, such garbage crap about it, and just, like, a lot of lip service, and Because it's all still based in the belief in their authority, the authority of the priest, the authority of the pope, the authority of the government, the authority of the state. They spin it into that. And then they always leave out, because Jesus, if he was real or not, just as the story goes, he was killed by the state. And he was against religion and government. And he was ultimately an anarchist. And so if you can process that, would he vote? I love just asking that question. And there was something else I wanted to add to that. But I'm blanking on it. I really would love for people to be honest with themselves about that. If they're a Christian, because I think it would be helpful to that. That's part of just an inner work and thinking critically and not believing, because there's so much believe this whole voting thing is just an indoctrinated belief system, as well as the religion. I think I was trying to say is, if there's a famous Mark Twain quote, it's I know one thing: if Jesus was alive today, he wouldn't be a Christian, right? So I just think that's how so many Christians don't see it like that, but think about it. Anyway, pass it back to Brandon.
Anybody remember in around the 2000s? Now there was these kind of bracelets, and they had WWJD on them. What would Jesus do? That's what came to mind when Jen was had talking about that. But Derek had brought up the voice, and it's funny how they try to use the vote and make it equivalent to the voice, but yet they don't want you using your true authentic voice and, using free speech, using freedom of choice and using your words, your forms of vocal cords and vibratory energy to speak and to express and tell the truth. No, it's been diluted and muddy and watered down into going to a square box and writing on a piece of paper. That's what they have made it equivalent to. And these are the same people who were actually silencing their true voice, wearing the diaper, the face diaper. So just let that sink in on how, how they've tried to mimic the true voice, by saying, hey, voting is your voice, don't be silenced. Don't let them take your vote away. Don't let them take away your power from voting, as if that's, true, real authenticity in the form of power. But yet, voting was always considered a privilege, how Derek said. So, and then too, all candidates who run for pretty much any form in government, it doesn't matter what flavor, they're all pro-violence, because they all will use their order following thugs to come and detain you. So that is a transgression against natural law. All of the candidates are pro-trespass, because they will write something on a piece of paper and come and kick in your door at 2 a.m. in the morning. They're all pro-aggression. Because, of course, hell again, their jackbooted thugs will use violence and duress. And again, all candidates are pro-violence, because they, hell again, they'll send their goons to transgress upon your rights. They're all pro-rape. It may not be a physical form of rape, which a lot of people in these authoritative positions do rape men and rape, women. But they spiritually rape you. They mentally rape you. They psychologically rape you. And they definitely rape your wallet. You know, so it doesn't have to be like a physical form. It can be a psychological, a symbolic, a, you know, like allegorical form. So I remember that every candidate is pro-theft. Every candidate is pro-violence. So what Jerry was talking about, you know, and going deeper, you know, which, you know, explaining these things is that if the candidate is pro-violence and you are going out and voting for any candidate, it doesn't matter what party, doesn't matter what this candidate identifies as, doesn't matter what sex they are, doesn't matter what color they are, doesn't matter what so-called, you know, religion, doesn't matter what country they so-called reside in, they are still pro-violence and pro-theft, and you are supporting and condoning that. Every candidate is pro-violence. And also that gets more deeper into the indirectly support of the unconscious immorality. You know, so just let that sink in, that you can take all the seven transgressions against, you know, natural law. That's what every candidate throughout time, throughout all of man's history has been pro, like they have been for all those transgressions, because they'll always get someone else to do it for them. And then, you know, her last thing, it's like voting is like saying who's going to get Sauron's ring, you know, like in a sense, you know, it's like they're all competing for that power. And, you know, it's like, well, if 51% gets, you know, the votes and they get to wear Sauron's ring, that's pretty much what it's equivalent to. Because everyone wants that power. And when you get it, you know, it'll change anybody. That's why no one is capable of wearing the ring. No one is capable of sitting on the throne. No human being, no being in general, is capable of that. Only the truth and doing what's morally right.
Yeah, that, you know, emperor, the idea of the emperor, you know, like on the tarot card, represents us inside of our own being, you know, and the limits or the boundaries to my personal property is my skin. And when I try to go and control somebody else's skin, that's when I cross that line. And we're defining that line as natural law. That's our way of interpreting and understanding that we each have our own agency, our own divine connection, right? And when you look deep at that, you know, we were talking about the etymology where I left off. When you look in that derivation, it really starts to look more like what they mean. Vote, coming from votum, is that it's like a vow. You know, when you look into it, like devotion, you know, some of the words that were used to configure, possibly create that word would have had to do with like promising, being willing. And this isn't just an everyday promise, like it's like a deep promise, a sacred promise, right? So we're putting our sacred promise into the world by the things we say and the things we do, what we're attempting to manifest into the world. And when we relinquish that ability and just give it away to someone else, it's kind of like what Jesus was talking about in the parables about the talent. You know, this ability to choose has been birthed into you from the universe itself. It's the most amazing thing we have, is to choose things. And so your sacred choice of what to do, that's what this life is. And it's sort of being, not sort of, it's being massively devalued with a system that replaces a conscious thought or conscious decision. And this system is just one of many systems that have been used through time that have never worked. It's hard to, I ask people often, like, give me an example of something in your life, in your personal life, where you had a change for the better, a discernible change in your life that you could tell me about that you got through voting. Show me how that worked. Show me how you went and you voted and you made that change, and now you can show me how something has changed. Well, you can't. I mean, for all you know, the next person in charge is going to change it back, you know, because the other 51% voted, oh no, we didn't like the way it was the last 2 years. Now we're going to put it back worse than the way it was. And so it's just a constant competition. People are always going to have different contrasting ideas of what's more important to them, right? Just like two people living in the house, one person's turning up the heater and the other person's turning the air conditioner on. I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm, you know, you could go on all day like that. How do you really solve these problems? It has to be on a personal, individual level. And so I want to address the main argument that I hear. People like are afraid. This is a fear-based belief system, this voting system. Most people I talk to, when I say government, in their mind, they're thinking organization. And they're saying to me, how can we possibly go forward without government? It's going to be chaos, right? I'm like, well, it is chaos right now. You know, we're getting raped, murdered, killed, everything wrong you can imagine is happening. But they're saying, and I see what they're saying, like, okay, society has a certain organization to it right now that helps things happen. We agree on certain things, what time it is, how much money things cost. You know, as hectic and weird as all it is, at least there is a system in place that keeps us from just being wild animals and beating each other up, is the fear in people's mind. Or what about foreign powers? What about, you know, other countries like China, where they've got millions of people that will do exactly what they say, exactly when they say it, or else, and they're going to come invade us because we're all disorganized and we don't have a military to, you know, that's what people are afraid of. That's the concern. And when we say to them, we got to stop doing this, what we're doing, it's wrong, it's evil. I think in one part of their mind, they understand that, yeah, it is not the best, but it's the best thing we got. We got to organize. We got to have a way to defend ourselves. And I'm trying to remind people I've talked to recently about this, that the whole story of this country being formed was the most powerful army in the world coming here, and 3% of the population kind of hiding behind trees and just picking up their guns and, you know, not that organized. You know, the whole story of Paul Revere, you know, we gotta work together, guys. There wasn't all that at the time, and yet they won. That's the story of how we got this supposed freedom, right? And so why couldn't we do that again? Why couldn't we form a band of people to defend when, you know, when the danger's there? Or, you know, even have systems of organization in place to where we can manage things. I'm not saying we can't manage things in an organized manner. I don't think any of us are. And how do you actually vote for that, right? Like, how do I vote for that? I put my energy into describing that solution, into describing the problem with the current solution. I really don't like being a negative person. I'm very much a proactive person. When people start talking about a problem, I'll be the first one usually in the group to actually start doing something, you know, in my experience in life. A lot of the people will stand around and talk about it a lot longer than I will. I'll start working on it. And that's kind of what I'm doing by podcasting, by talking about these topics, is I am casting my vote. This literally is my solemn promise to the world that I know we can creatively find solutions to problems, and I know that we can work together, and I know that that's going to work better in smaller groups, and I know it's going to work better if the people in the groups, their opinion and their thoughts are valued, right? If we devalue anyone, then there's going to be a problem, and a system of voting, belief system based on fear, like we have now, is going to invalidate more than 50% of the population. And I don't know, we even get into like electoral college and all the quirks of the voting system that are obviously corrupt. You know, even people that are vying for voting right now will recognize that there's all these problems. There's systematic manipulation, there's voter suppression, there's stuff in the boxes, gerrymandering, misinformation, election interference, you know, this two-party system, people are stuck between not ideal candidates. The third party, people don't even have a chance. There's low voter turnout. Most people aren't voting. Most people are apathetic about it. So it's not even working anyway. It's complex or restrictive. Sometimes people don't even know how to vote, or they can't, you know. And then there's, you know, their whole systems are reform. We need to reform it. We just need to fix it, right? You know, it's just like the whole problem is that the system itself is based in fear, and it's based in coercion. And that's really what we're trying to get at with the violence aspect of that. If you join a gang, right, you know, the gang is using drugs and killing people and doing all these terrible things. You're part of the gang now. You joined the gang. So when you put your solemn promise to the gang saying I'm with them, then now you're part of what they're doing. And what are they doing in the world that's good right now? You know, prove it to me what they're doing that's good, because all the ones I've seen have murdered massive numbers of people, dropped massive numbers of bombs. I don't care which president you're talking about, or you know, governor, you know, they have not, you know, made the world a better place, nor will they, because that's not their goal, is it? You know, and we can think of a million things that would make things better. And we could stand here and talk about all kinds of optimistic ideas and creative solutions, but they're not going to get implemented because no one's going to listen to them, because they're not on the ballot, because it's not one of the things I want to vote for. You know, one of the things I want to vote for is no more coercion. How come that's not on the list? Let's put that on the list. What do I have to do to vote to put that on the list? There's no way to do that, because that's not part of this system of fear. And that's all it is, a system of fear. And so we need to be brave and courageous and creative and start talking about solutions. And that's how you cast your vote. So next time someone asks you, you don't vote, say, no, I do. I vote by putting my voice out into the world on a podcast and explaining a better way of fucking doing things than robbing, murdering, and stealing our own brothers and sisters and neighbors. That's how I vote. Yeah, that's my answer. So I'll pass it on to anyone else. We could do some, you know, everyone kind of close up this awesome discussion.
Yeah, sure. Jerry, you want to have at it? Or never mind. You're good. All right. So, yeah. Jim, you already touched on it and kind of to the point. I'd love to tail off of just what you last said there, Chris, or anyone that I follow, but I kind of lost that train of thought. But it's not the Trump train. Don't But it's like, yeah, oh, wow, like, it's the same sad fucking thing that comes out of countless people's mouths. Well, like, lesser two evils. Bitch, don't choose a single thing about evil. Do you think anyone on this panel is going to come on to a podcast called End Evil and vote for any kind of lesser version of, you know, like, think of, like, degrees of it. It's like, it's still, it is what it is. And it's just under a system that's fucking evil. And I wouldn't even say corrupt. It's, that's just how it's been designed. Although I don't see the Constitution as the system in a sense, but you know, that's kind of aside to where I was going with, yeah, Chris, you were talking about, yeah. As far as, you know, like, people take on these, it's kind of like the monkey see, monkey do in a sense. Well, yeah. But how, yeah, like the behaviors of the government and whatever political party that people identify with, they kind of take on those characteristics to a degree or whatever and become just like dependent on them. And like, oh, you got the nanny state or the granny state or the... Or the daddy in the pink panty state, whatever the fuck. Anyways, because, yeah, I've noticed some shit that, like, really, like, infuriated me, like, on the streets of Paris, you know, people just flicking their cigarette butts out. You know, I lived, like, on a busy street, and you get outside of your apartment, and then, like, you're, like, there's dozens of people, you know, foot traffic all over the place. And, yeah, like, in a metropolitan area, it's different, but at the same time, you just don't like to see it. People, like, grown adults, like, just not being able to take care of their own fucking trash, whether they're smoking a fucking cigarette or whatever the fuck. But, you know, like, the typical, I'm cool, I flick my cigarette like that, you know what I mean? And sometimes I try to, you know, like, what are you guys doing? You know, like, hey, you drop this, you know, kind of stuff. And, you know, one guy actually turned around and responded. And I was happy that I responded, despite the attitude, but it shows me where people's fucking heads are at, which is firmly up their fucking ass or in the ass of the government. Because, like, I can do what I want because, you know, the municipality people, my taxpayer money pays for people to, you know, clean up after me. And hopefully maybe one day they'll wipe my fucking ass too. After I think, you know what I mean? That kind of shit. So I just want to smack the shit out of these fucking people. Like, what kind of responsibility are you taking in your life outside of the fucking rat race of just trying to pay the fucking bills and eat? That's such, you know, like, that's elementary Watson, whatever the fuck. Anyways, not to rant on that kind of stuff, but they're so dependent on the cacistocracy. It's not a democracy. It's a fucking cacistocracy. Cacistocracy. You know, like rule by the shit people. Look it up. I even did a video about that years ago. Sampled Max Egan. He spoke about that in volumes, actually. He's trying to, you know, bring it back as we can right now. Think about it. But don't flush that idea so quickly down the toilet, right? You got plenty of toilet paper, I'm sure. Y'all stocked up since the Rona? Shit. Anyways.
Hey, man, people going to be eating toilet, like, people are going to be eating toilet paper, man.
Fuck.
Tell me.
Yeah, unfortunately, people need a fuck ton more than just that. People don't even have, like, running water, safe water, any water around certain areas. Like in North Carolina, I got hit hard by the, you know, hurricanes and all that shit. They're struggling hard, fucking core. It's toxic as fuck out there. And it's getting downplayed by the media, of course, and by the government, of course. These are not people we can fucking trust. So why the fuck would we fucking vote for them? All right. They're getting in the way of humans trying to help other fucking humans right now as we fucking speak. And like, but we have all this taxpayer money to pay for fucking what? Send it to fucking China. Send it to the corporations. Give all these grant things to whoever the fuck to, you know, in all the medical places that, you know, have an unspoken rule that you cannot say the word cure or even use it because, you know, we got to milk out the big pharma mafioso motherfuckers as much as fucking possible. You don't fucking vote for these motherfuckers. And we do not want to have our taxpayer money being supplying their motherfucking shit anyways. And you vote by your fucking dollar as well. It's not just the motherfucking bitch ass piece of shit fucking government. It's also the god awful punk ass fucking corporations. These people are strong handing a lot of industries and resources even on our territory right now. I mean, what is it? Flint, Michigan? How's their water quality these days? How has it been over the past fucking decade? Who the fuck is trying to do something about it? Were there, you know, actual people, boots on the ground, you know, I wouldn't say civilians, but actual people, even though people make up the whole, you know, body of government and whatever the fuck, but people outside of government trying to, you know, fix their own environmental problems and getting cock-blocked by fucking governmental agencies. What the fuck? You know, that kind of shit. And this is just, you know, exaggerating possibly that scenario ad infinitum on a larger scale in the macrocosm on so many other different topics and or scenarios, if you will. So people are still stuck in a huge state of Stockholm syndrome, which is why they keep going over these negative feedback loops in the 4-year cycle of, oh, well, just maybe next time it'll be better. Oh, you know, like, yeah. All this stuff. It's the cognitive dissonance that's coupled by this as well that perpetuates it, right? So, and with, you know, all these dangling carrots of, you know, the big hot topics of the debates and can't wait to hear what these idiot fucks have to say about it, which is fucking, it's, oh my God, it's not even fucking high school level debate shit, you know? It's so fucking pathetic. And so it's like this, these illusions of choices dangling in front of us, talking out of their fucking ass. And I'm sure like in the back of their minds, it's like, oh, I can't wait to get this over with. And, you know, like it just proceeds to the selection or whatever the fuck. Maybe some of these, you know, people actually think that, you know, the voting whole system is viable or whatever. Anyways. Oh, by the way, we didn't mention how many past presidents were Freemasons and all that. Not like it matters all that much. But, you know, or does it? But, so I want to know about how many. Actually, I don't. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I was thinking about the French side of things, but I was just trying to segue into a colleague from the Europa Natural Law crew, Nemo Jones. He actually wrote an article titled something like Why Voting is Evil, something like that. You can check it out on his Substack, but I'm just going to read three quick bullet points that were pretty much the summary of his article. It's not like hella long, you know, it's like a couple minute read. But, you know, in conclusion for his, you know, side of it, it is, you know, voting is evil because it is a It is a denial of immutable sovereign self-responsibility. Two, it is an endorsement of a system which inherently violates natural law. Number three, it is an attempt to impose your will on others in violation of natural law. Think about it. And then Logan had a funny thing on Facebook recently. He posted you on that. I'm just, yeah, like, we're going to vote. We're just going to blindly believe what, you know, people say and all this stuff. And to the contrary of what Nima was talking about, and to the average person that just, you know, goes with the flow of the hamster wheel of life, just another shit stain on the draws of society, unfortunately. And this is just what the social conditioners are trying to manufacture. You know, they want this to be continuous like this. They need their field workers and the cogs in the machine to keep the shit running, unfortunately. So, yeah, I'm tired of these fucking shitty runners. It's all fucking diarrhea. Just like the mouths of these fucking people on, you know, the talking heads, the media pundits and all that shit. Whoever supports whatever fucking side, you know? Same shit, different smell, whatever the hell. Jerry, ¿cómo estás? La raza. What's good down south?
Well, it was good, man. Well, it rained here, so that was pretty good. But, no, I love what everyone has to say, every one of you. I learned so much, even here live, kind of taking mental notes. But, yeah, where can I take this? Yeah, like Chris said, like, start doing the work while people are talking about it. I guess my brain just kind of wants to provide you solutions, which is, first, you have to get the shit out of your fucking brain, right? Belief in authority, that has to go out and be replaced by sovereignty. And it is much a love versus fear battle, like you said, Chris. So the whole idea of government is based on fear. And that's why we have to choose love to recognize our sovereignty. And I like that point by Nemo Jones, when he said the denial of our sovereignty is why voting is evil. And yeah, that's because they have people in the fear-based mindset. That's what the government does. They just put fear through the media. That's why we can't support these motherfuckers. We have to say no. Like, I'm going to choose to watch Chris Jansen instead and share that shit. You know, like everyone here, we have to start sharing the work, do the work. And I know I can step up for sure. But it's talks like these that bring me hope. And we just have to do this on a mass scale, guys. It's this is real. It's not a game. I'm just waking up, right? Like, the past selection was, I was fucking a zombie. And now I'm just like, oh my God, this is the first one. Like, I just, it's hard to imagine, right? Like, this keep on going. And it's like, we just have to end it. Sooner the better. But I guess my next step to the solution after you recognize your sovereignty is to start pretty much speaking out, or, you know, study natural law, study objective morality, using the trivia method, understand the trivia method, input, processing, and output, the three-step method to learn anything, and then test it. You can test natural law by pretty much doing the scientific method, and yeah, just see what results you get. They're very consistent. And I just want to say, the whole thing about man's law, that people think that they have the right to rule over you, is it's illegitimate. The They think they can rule over us because of some bloodline. Like, they bleed just like us. They're nothing special. Like, they don't have more rights than you. Go check out our first video on what is a right. Really study it. And we just have to get the word out, start voting, right? And the real voting, pretty much spreading natural law and love, peace and harmony. And I think that's all we can do to spread truth. So I'll leave it there.
Derek reminded me what I couldn't remember before, the cognitive dissonance when it comes to asking that question of if would Jesus vote, because it really gets to show people like to think about like the contradiction in their belief system. So yeah, that's I like to point that out. But you know, like the last video that we all made was zombies, right? And so we know what we're up against. We're all here, and it's hard to, like, we just have to have patience. You know, I have a lot of patience, so that's why we're here, just to bring awareness to, you know, the belief systems like that, of the contradiction in people's beliefs and, you know, what's going on in their minds and the truth. And if we can get them to see that, you know, maybe plant that seed, you know, just something, just keep at it, you know. And that's why we're making this video. It's I'm sure like 99% of the people will not agree with us, and they say that I don't see it that way, but we're not going to stop because we know what we're saying is true. It's based in truth. And so, you know, I'll leave it at that. And, too bad Rick wasn't here, but, see him next time. Go ahead, pass it to Brandon.
Yeah, I'm gonna make this short. You know, people always talk about solutions. Learn how to think and come up with your own goddamn motherfucking solutions. And the solutions will be as clear as the rising fucking sun.
Yeah.
That, I just want to say that too. That's what I meant to say too. It's like, we can think our way out of this. Like, it's just going to take a lot of time. That's the main thing that people just don't, they can't see a better way. And like, we're just trying to spread the message. Like, we can. We just have to like, stop being so freaking hopeless. Like, we can do this. So that's all.
Yeah. One of my first big presentations was called Humanity's Most Powerful Weapon. And what is humanity's most powerful weapon? You know, it's our ability to work together. You know, we're not a solitary species. We need each other. That's part of the way we survive is by trading goods. And different people have different things they're good at and they can produce. And by having those trades, it creates a certain amount of safety between us. You know, being able to communicate, coordinate, and cooperate is our highest skills, and many of us have not reached that level of aliveness where we can truly relate with our brothers and sisters and fellow human beings. I just want to tell you guys a quick game. We used to, back in my days of doing ropes course trainings, we had this one field game. You have everybody out in a field, and you start everybody out in a circle. And you count off 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, right? All the ones go to the left side of the field. All the twos go to the right side of the field, right? And I go over there to the group one, and I give them 4 mats about a foot or 2 feet square mats. And the distance of the field is such that they have about 3 or 4 of these mats. If you spread them out, you could probably jump from one to another, but you're not going to get all the way across, you know? So the whole idea is I tell group one, your idea is to get over there where group two's at. Group two, they're going to be trying to get over here where you're at. But your goal is to see how well you can get your whole group over there. And so then you go tell the other group the exact same thing. And they have their little carpets and they're trying to figure out how to coordinate their group and, you know, taking turns, moving the things and jumping from, you know, the whole idea is they're not allowed to touch the ground. It's like lava, right? Because you got to use a little imagination here. But, you know, so often the two groups are like competing. They think the game is to try to get their group across before the other group. And they start like, you know, even trying to screw up the other team's plan by moving their mat or something, right? I've seen that. But I never said that the goal of the game was to beat the other team. I said the goal of the game is to get your team to the other side. Occasionally, you get two really smart groups on the opposite sides of the field to start communicating with one another. Hey, let's work together, guys. And if they spread their mats out and we spread our mats out, everyone can basically just run across one at a time. Run one that way, one that way, one that way. Boom. And I've seen groups figure that out, too. And it's amazing. It's like a mind-bending realization to everybody. Like, oh, I don't know why I thought we had to fight against each other. But that's where we're at in the world, in humanity's development. Most people haven't realized that we're not here to fight each other. We don't have to fight each other. We don't have to always be at odds with each other. We can work together. It's a difficult skill to communicate and cooperate and make certain sacrifices to help someone else or to create a small group that has the same intention. But without that, we're never going anywhere. Think of all the most amazing, awesome things in history that have done positive things for humanity. Well, civil rights movement, abolition of slavery in certain areas. You know, obviously we haven't abolished it completely, but you know, certain types of slavery have been cut down. Certain types of sexism and racism have been fought against by people that form groups and movements. These weren't from taxes and voting. These were from people getting together and saying, hey, we had enough of this. How about mothers against drunk driving? Mothers that had enough of seeing their sons getting killed. And they worked together to create a movement. You know, even the Red Cross, which has turned into, you know, not a good thing anymore because it obviously got too big and it got taken over by someone's Sauron ring of power. At one time, it was just a people working together to help other people that needed help. You know, it used to be common if you see a bucket brigade, you know, you'd stop, pull over and help them put out the fire, you know, and look at religious missions and charities all through history. Those were all volunteer. So, you know, open source software and not always the best, but it's possible, you know, crowdfunding. There are ways to make things happen and make things that create long-lasting change through movements of people caring about things. And how would there be anything to vote for if that didn't happen first anyway? People have to get together and decide, oh, we really care about this. We really want this to change. That's the process. The voting does not have to be the crucial hinge pin. You know, we don't need a leader, a tyrannical ruler to form groups, coordinate, cooperate, find out what we really care about and push in that direction with our willpower. The only thing that's going to stop that is government and, you know, people that want to keep this condition of slavery in the world where they make the law rather than respecting the law of God or the will of the universe, which is do not steal from one another. Do as you would have done unto you. It's that simple. So the golden rule, natural law, that's what we're encouraging folks. Work on solutions. You don't like the solutions I brought up? You know, look into Austrian economics. Study Murray Rothbard. Look at, you know, there's books and books of people with different philosophies of how we can manage ourselves and how we can create productive societies. It's a question of studying and putting our mind to it, putting those ideas out in the world and pushing in that direction and organizing and making it happen. And that's what we have to do. That's how we really, you know, solemnly vow that we want a better world without evil. So that's what I'm encouraging. And on that note, thanks for coming, folks. Thanks for coming, brothers of truth, my one great work warriors. Everybody put a prayer, good thoughts towards Crip Rick's quick healing process. He's always struggling with certain health issues. And so you know, let's all hope the best for him. And until next time, signing out, One Great Work, Warriors.